Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your voice to be clear, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've spoken to me at all and started piecing together what I might have been doing before coming into ministry in a full-time capacity, you'll have worked out that I've had quite a few jobs. Okay, that's a given. And I mentioned the police quite a lot, and Stephen's picked up on that and had a chat with me. But it was a part of my life, so I will dip in and out of things that have happened in my life over time. And I actually want to speak about a job that I got when I left the police. I got saved, came back to church when I was still in the police, and I made a decision early on that God had a call on my life. He wanted me to preach the gospel, and that's what I was going to do. So I had to find my way to transition out of the police and find something else to do. I seemed to have some kind of ability to speak to young people. There was a job at a church in Falkirk to a full-time youth worker. I applied for that job, and I got the job. And what I want to talk about just in this story this morning is the day that I had to go and hand back my police warrant card. Now, the police warrant card is not a golden ticket. You don't get free food if you flash your warrant card or anything like that. But I had to give this back. And as I parked at the town hall in Falkirk, and I had to walk up to the police station. And as I was walking up, I was reminded of what a sergeant said. A training sergeant at Tully Allen said this to the new recruits. He said this: "Just remember, it doesn't matter where you end up, what town, city, village, or wherever. It doesn't matter what happens. Just remember that your gang will always be bigger than their gang." And actually, I was thinking about that, and I was just about to hand my ticket from their gang over. I was going to leave that police office not being in that gang anymore. And it was quite a strange feeling. It was a strange feeling to know that at any time I could just identify myself as a police officer, do something if something was happening, that was going to be gone. All of a sudden, my head started going in that direction to, well, what are you going to do? So I did the administrative bit, I signed my name, I gave my card, and I walked out. And I was walking back down to the town hall to get my car. And I was consciously praying about it, and God didn't speak and take me out or anything like that. But I certainly sensed in my spirit, this is what I sensed God was saying. He says, "Don't worry, my gang is bigger than any other gang." And you know, I started laughing walking down the street. I was thinking, it doesn't matter. And do you know what I realized? When God said that in that moment, I was not alone. And this week we kick off a new short sermon series on the I am not statements of Jesus. And most people will be aware of the times in scripture that Jesus says, "I am." There's seven statements from Jesus, "I am." They're listed in John. "I am the bread of life. As bread sustains physical life, so Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. I am light of the world. To a world lost in darkness, Christ offers himself as a guide. I am the door of the sheep. Jesus protects his followers and shepherds and protects the flock from predators. I am the resurrection and the life. Death is not the final word for those that are in Christ. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is committed to caring and watching over all who are his. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the source of all truth and knowledge about God. I am the true vine, and by attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable his life to flow through us. Then we cannot help but bear fruit and honor the Father. So today I want to explore the statement that Jesus makes in John 8:16, where he says, "I am not alone. And to get a better understanding of what Jesus is saying here, we must go back a bit to John 7. And reading through John chapter 7, it becomes clear that the identity of Jesus as the Messiah was being questioned. People were divided over who Jesus actually is. And people are also debating the claims made by Jesus. And then at the beginning of John chapter 8, we read the account of the woman caught in adultery. Quite a well-known story of a woman who's caught in adultery and she's dragged outside to be stoned. See, the religious leaders are looking for ways to trap Jesus, and they ask him a question to see if they can trip him up. They want to gather evidence so that they can accuse him. And then Jesus says, "The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her." And we see a wonderful interaction between this woman and Jesus. It's only the two of them that are left standing. The others have walked away. And Jesus says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" The woman looks at Jesus and says, "No, Lord." Jesus finished by saying, "Neither do I condemn you. Go from now and do not sin anymore." And that brings us up to the passage I'd like to look at this morning. John 8:12 to 18. And this is the dispute over Jesus' testimony. So reading from John 8, chapter 8, verse 12, it says this: "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.' The Pharisees challenged him, 'Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid.' Jesus answered, 'Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and I know where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one alone. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me.'" And once again, we see here that the religious leaders are having a good go at Jesus. They're trying all they can to catch him out. And the reason that they're saying that his testimony is invalid is because in Jewish law, any claim made had to be corroborated or substantiated by two men or two witness accounts. And Jesus is making some pretty bold claims, and the religious leaders are getting more annoyed as he does so. But Jesus knows the law, and he keeps on going. He effectively points out to the religious leaders that they all claim to know the law of God, but they don't know the God of the law. In John 8:16, when Jesus says, "If I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." He is effectively saying that when he speaks or he makes a claim about who he is or what he can do, he speaks truth because every word he says is backed up by what his Father God says. Whatever Jesus says, we can take as truth because it's backed up by the witness of the Father. And a point of note here is that a common claim of those who reject the divine nature of Jesus is that they say that Jesus never claimed to be God. And in this passage here, Jesus doesn't explicitly say, "I am God." But he does claim a unique divine relationship with God the Father, which strongly implies his divinity. This verse is part of a larger discourse in which Jesus asserts his authority and his relationship with the Father, claiming that he and the Father are united in their actions and in their judgments. By saying his judgment is true and that he is not alone and that the Father is with him, he positions himself as one with God in purpose and authority. See, in Jewish tradition, only God could make final judgments. So Jesus is certain that his judgment is valid because of his relationship with the Father is a bold statement about his divine authority. See, when we look at Romans 8, 12 to 18, one of the overarching themes that when Jesus speaks, he speaks the truth, is that we can believe Jesus because what he says and the claims that he makes, his testimony, is backed up by the witness of God. John Piper sums it up like this: Jesus speaks from God and for God and as God. This being the case then, when Jesus speaks, you can take him at his word. And to explore this a bit further, I want to go back a bit to John 8, 12. It says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, if we take Jesus at his word and we believe that he is in fact light of the world, this should impact our lives in many ways. As light of the world, Jesus will do certain things, he will provide certain things, and there will be an expectation that as obedient followers of Jesus, we will reflect his light. I just want to quickly suggest four things Jesus does, provides, and expects as light of the world. The first thing is this: as light of the world, Jesus guides me through spiritual darkness. One of the classrooms that I taught RE in Glasgow, a school in Glasgow, it had a large poster on the wall. It was an RE classroom. And there's a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. It said, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Which is emphasizing the point that the darkness of evil has and never will overcome God's light. You see, light dispels darkness, and Jesus is saying that he is light of the world. He is telling people or revealing to them that he is the one who illuminates truth, and he provides guidance to lead people out of spiritual darkness. And I've mentioned spiritual darkness there a few times, but what I'm referring to is sin. I'm talking about ignorance. I'm talking about general hopelessness. Jesus is the creator of life, and his life brings light to humankind. His light, we see ourselves for what we really are. We are sinners in need of a savior. Jesus as light of the world also brings revelation of truth. We heard about that last week. Jesus' light reveals what's hidden. Jesus reveals the truth about God, life, and humanity's purpose. He helps people see things as they truly are, revealing God's character and exposing sin. Through Jesus, we see what is true and righteous, and we understand what it means to live rightly with God and with others. See, when we choose to follow Jesus, he gives us purpose and we find direction. Jesus enables us to understand more about the world that we live in. The kingdom of darkness is ruled by Satan. He seeks only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's a liar. In fact, it says in Scripture, he's the father of lies, and he brings destruction, and he brings chaos. As Jesus guides you through a spiritual darkness, he will lead you from a position of confusion to a position of clarity. One commentator puts it this way when he's talking about what it means to follow Jesus. And he writes, to follow the Lord Jesus means to believe on him, to trust him. And the results are life and light for the believer. The unsaved, people who are not Christians, people who don't follow Jesus, are walking around in darkness because they love darkness. And he goes on to say that one of the major messages of the book of John is that the spiritual light is now shining, but the people cannot comprehend it, and they try to put it out. See, if you choose to follow Jesus, the light, you can avoid walking blindly, falling into sin. He lights the path ahead of us so we can see how to live. He removes the darkness of sin from our lives. The second thing, as light of the world, Jesus brings life and salvation. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." See, light is essential for life. We think about it, plants need sunlight for growth. And this statement symbolizes Jesus' role as the source of spiritual life. We think about that for a second. Things, plants, need light to grow. And as vital as sunlight is for physical life, even so, the light of the Son of God is vital for spiritual life. In John 8:12, he says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When we read that verse there, this highlights Jesus' role as the Savior who gives eternal life to those who believe in him, moving them from spiritual death to eternal life. See, spiritual life can be found in no other than Christ. Just as he is the giver of physical life, so is he the provider of spiritual life. He is life itself. Jesus proclaims in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In 1 John 5:12, we read, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." In John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life." The third thing, as light of the world, Jesus brings hope in a dark world. See, in times of suffering, fear, and uncertainty, Jesus, as light, brings hope. For people feeling lost or weighed down by life's challenge, Jesus offers comfort, showing that God is present and actively working for our good, no matter how dark things appear. See, for a number of years, I was involved with the Businessmen's Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. They've had a few names over the years. And that ministry has now evolved, and at least in part, it's now online on YouTube, and they post every day at lunchtime, I think, interviews of people giving their testimony about how they came to believe in God and give their life to Jesus. And this was just two little bios before you actually hear the story on the video. And it said things like this. Doogie was brought up in the north east of England, in the rough area in which he lived. Fights were commonplace on the streets, in the school, and on the terraces of the football ground. And Doogie readily joined in. On many occasions, this resulted in prison sentences. He then joined a hooligan firm for Newcastle United football team. And basically, his life was to go up and down the country, drink a lot, and fight a lot. He was also addicted to cocaine. And he said that nothing brought him happiness. He was living in a dark place until he met Jesus. Another one says, "Growing up in a Muslim home and family, Dee never thought to question any other way of living. When struggles in life, abusive relationships, death of a family member, and divorce, it all began to weigh her down. She sank into depression. Everything seemed hopeless. And it was at her lowest point, her darkest moment, that Jesus met her in her dreams and took her on a journey of faith and hope and salvation." You don't have to listen too much to the news or watch too much on TV to see that we live in a broken and dark world. I've mentioned the late night street team a few times out in Glasgow and Sauchie Hall Street till all times of the night. And just speaking to people. And I'm thinking, when I was preparing this, about a woman that I met, and she was with a group, but she was asking us why we were there. We were always very open. We said we're there to talk about Jesus. We're Christians. This is what we believe. We want to talk to other people about that. And she says, well, there's no point talking to me. I says, tell me about that. She says, well, a number of years ago, I sold my soul to the devil, and I can't do anything about it. She said something along the lines of, she had, in her past, been abused by an uncle. And she said, she prayed to God and nothing happened. I prayed to the devil and he contracted a disease or something and he died. And from that moment on, I belong to the devil. Broken. Dark. And I was able to stand there and say, you can live another way. There is a light in this darkness. I asked her if I could pray for her. Standing on the street in Sauchie Hall Street at whatever time of the morning. Can I pray for you? I'd really like you to pray for me, but not when I'm here. I was like, okay, but we're definitely going to pray for you. And as a team, we moved to another side of the street. She walked on with her group, and we prayed that Jesus would break in to her life. That's the world that we're living in. When I talk about Jesus can bring hope in a dark world, that's the world that I'm talking about. That's in Glasgow, only half an hour from where we are this morning. And I'm sure there'll be people even here today that feel that parts of their life are really dark and parts of their life really just need Jesus to shine some light so that they can walk from the darkness, the depression, the hopelessness. They can have life in Jesus. And I'm here to say this morning, that is absolutely 100% correct. If you need light shone in your life, you can have that through Jesus today. There is always another way with Jesus. He will show you the way. I've said already, he will guide you through the spiritual darkness. I also said that there would be some expectation for those who do believe that Jesus calls us to let our light shine before men. Obedient followers of Jesus are called to reflect his light. Jesus' followers are called to reflect his light in their own lives. Matthew 5:14-16. You are light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and they give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There is expectation that if we are being obedient and we're following Jesus, that we would let our light shine before men. We would allow the light of Jesus to shine through us. See, when we do that, that points other people towards hope. It points other people towards the truth. It points to salvation in Jesus. Jesus is light of the world, therefore points us to his mission to illuminate, to save, to restore humanity, guiding us into a loving relationship with God and inviting us to shine the light in our lives. So at the start of today's message, I said we were going to look at the I am not statements of Jesus and explore what Jesus means in this context. We established that he's saying that people can take what he says to be true. We can take Jesus at his word because what he says is backed up by the witness and the testimony of God the Father. We consider what it looks like when we take Jesus at his word. I am light of the world. What are the implications for us because Jesus is light of the world? Well, we can have a guide in a spiritual darkness. You can have life and salvation. You can have hope in a dark world. But you, as followers of Jesus, are called to let your light shine before men. So think about how your life could change if you took Jesus at his word this morning If you're here or you're watching online and you're not at this point a follower of Jesus, think about what Jesus says in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. Or Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. We've already had the scripture in communion, but if you're here this morning, if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're carrying heavy burden, Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you're facing the impossible today, if you're in a situation that just cannot change, it will not change, just believe Jesus in Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and he says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. If you're earnestly praying to God to move in your life and the situation you find yourself in, be encouraged by the words of Jesus in Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find it. Knock the door and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. See, Jesus there says, everyone. Everyone who asks God receives an answer. Everyone who seeks him will find him. The door is opened to everyone who knocks. By including everyone, Jesus shows that God's responsiveness to prayer is not based on the goodness of the one that's praying, but it's based on the goodness of God. So my encouragement to you this morning, keep praying, keep going, keep moving forward. The time's gone, I'd like to give you an opportunity to...
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.